And this is the Prep Ball Report. This is your host, Arrington Blackman. I'm here along with Stephen Manrique, Nathan Smith, and Christian Crittenden. For today's show, we're going to start off with our discussion about the PSL Championship. Stephen was there, and he wants to give a great insight into how the game turned out. Stephen?
Yeah, the PSL Championship, Western won their first since 1922. It's a big accomplishment for a school that's traditionally more of a baseball powerhouse. But as far as their opponent, Renaissance, I think Renaissance did a good job of running their game plan, you know, methodically slowing Western down, running their offense, limiting wide-open three-point opportunities for Western. And you have to give Western credit, though. They shut down Justin Turner, who's one of the best juniors in the state. I believe he had 12 points or so, but he took a lot of shots to get that. So it was just Western grinding it out.
Yeah, that was a big surprise to me for Renaissance to stay in the game like that. I didn't expect them for it to be such a good game throughout the whole time. Next, we're going to have Crick.
Yeah, just one thing to add to that. I mean, I think I was there also. Renaissance was in the game because they were in a 2-3 zone that really gave Western fits. And that's one thing you're starting to see now with teams that, you know, don't have the firepower to keep up with the teams they're playing. They run a zone and they slow the game down a lot just, you know, to have a chance to stay in the game. We've seen it recently, you know, the past couple of weeks, and we're going to see it more into the state playoffs as, teams are overmatched. They're going to have to try and slow the game somehow to win.
Yeah.
So it makes, you know, a lot, you know, the score is a lot lower.
Yeah, low-scoring games because the zone kills the offensive fast breaks and stuff like that. All right, so we're going to move on to one of the key contributors to this ring or this championship in the PSL, Josh McFoley. You have a big interview Stephen scored with him. Stephen, with the interview.
Okay, thanks for tuning in. We're joined by Detroit Western star guard, Josh McFoley. And Josh, thank you for taking time out of your busy day to join us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so last week, Western won their first city championship since 1922. Could you just talk about it?
Yes, I can.
How's it feel?
It feels great. I mean, we accomplished a lot. It was a lot of hard work. We made history for our school. So it feels great.
Now, initially, did you know coming in that the school didn't win the title since 1922?
I found that out earlier, back in December, that it's been a long time since we won the PSL. And I felt like our team is good enough to do it, so we just took that challenge on and won.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you think there's pressure surrounding Western right now? I mean, you guys are number one in the state and top 25 in the country.
I mean, yeah, it's a little pressure. We know teams are going to gun for us, but we practice so hard, and we feel practices should be harder than the games. So we feel like when the game comes, it should be easy. It should just be a regular thing to us.
Yeah, definitely. So you transferred from Mount Clemens to Western over the summer. Just talk about a little bit about your transition from Mount Clemens.
Transition from Mount Clemens. It's very different. It's very different. A lot of diversity over at this school, over at my new school at Western, from Mount Clemens. Mm-hmm. A lot of diverse. You got a whole bunch of Latinos, blacks, and whites, and a couple whites. But yeah, it's a great school. Great for learning. Great for basketball.
Yeah, and you said basketball. Yeah. You know, you were coached by one of the best high school basketball players in Michigan history, at Jermaine Jackson at Mount Clemens. Like, what did that kind of leave with you?
He gave me a winning attitude. Mm-hmm. Taught me how to work and just help be a better teammate and how to make your teammates better.
Yeah, you know, I guess it was hard for you kind of like sitting out the first half of the season, but, you know, Braylon Neely really led you guys. What do you think about Braylon's game?
Braylon is a great player. Mm-hmm. Great player. He's a good leader. He knows how to lead the team. He knows how to make everyone better. And he also knows how to create for himself. So Braylon is an all-around excellent player.
Yeah, so how does that complement your game? I mean, you're a three-point specialist, so it has to work out.
He helps my game a lot. He takes a lot of pressure off of me. I take a lot of pressure off of him, so basically it just evens out.
I mean, the depth for this team is just, like, so resounding. I mean, you got each game I see you guys play, you got a different player stepping up. I mean, one game it's Kyrie, another it's Armani Tinsley, Kareem took over a game. Just talk about the whole depth of the team.
And the depth of the team, it goes real deep. Mm-hmm. We have good guards. Kyrie, very good ball handler, very good on-ball defender. Same with Armani, he's a very great three-point shooter, and he's a great defender. So it runs, the guards run deep, bigs run deep, and the team, like, overall, just a great team. A great team. We're just working to be greater.
Yeah, all those guys were juniors. I mean, as one of the seniors, do you think you have to provide senior leadership?
Oh, yes, definitely. You have to provide senior leadership. We have to stay focused all the time. Have to tell them to stay focused all the time. All the little stuff like that. But, yeah, of course.
And another senior that stepped up for you guys has been Gerald Blackshear. Just talk about your relationship with him. You came with him from Mount Clemens.
My relationship with Gerald, like, we're very, very close friends. Been together since 10th grade year, working hard every summer, on and off the court. So, yeah, like, our relationship is very good. He's very valuable to our team. Very great big man. Very good. And I'm glad to be a part of his, being a good teammate to him.
Yeah, going you guys are going to UDM together, so I guess you guys are very close.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, what do you think, like, separates Western from, like, other elite teams in Michigan, like Arthur Hill, U of D, Kalamazoo Central? What do you think?
I feel we work harder than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel. Yeah. And our defense is very great. We back up for each other, and we just have a very close bond on and off the court. So, yeah, that's how I feel.
What's it like playing for Coach? Yeah, what's it like playing for Coach McDowell? He's obviously one of the most respected coaches in PSL history.
It's sometimes challenging, but it's very good. Like, he's a very great coach, very good teacher. He knows how to teach, knows how to keep the players into it. He's a funny coach, also. Like, he's very hilarious, but he know how to coach you and he know how to teach you and joke around. So he's a very good person to be around, and I feel like he's one of the best coaches that I've ever had.
Okay, Josh, one last question. What are the odds that Western's going to win Class A? What do you think it's going to take this year?
It's going to take us staying focused and working together, staying as a team, and not letting anything get in front of us.
Okay. All right, Josh, thanks for joining our show today. Best of luck for you the remainder of the season in the state playoffs. And we're going to get you out of here with one more question. What's an interesting or fun fact about you?
Interesting and fun fact about me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm a very friendly person. I love to have fun like a normal person would. Mm-hmm. I love to work on my game.
Mm-hmm.
I just love playing the game, of course.
Yeah, definitely, Josh. Thanks for taking the time out of your day, and best of luck again.
No problem. Thank you. Mr. Merker.
With that being the end to our interview with Western's Josh McFoley, thanks, Steve, again for the interview. That was a good interview with him. He gave us a lot of insight into Western's, you know, way of play and how they get down. We're now going to transition into our preview of the Catholic League Championship, the KLAA Championship, and then the Charter League Championship. Steven, you want to start us off?
Yeah, Charter School League, it's not that known across the state, but I think there's some good teams in there. Southfield Bradford, one of them, and against University Prep, both of about 500, so it should be a good game.
What about the Charter League?
That was the Charter League.
I mean the KLAA, I'm sorry.
KLAA, while Lake Western's one of the best teams in the state, they only have one loss. And the one loss came to rival Wall Lake Central, so it's a rematch, though. That's a good game. And then in the Kensington division, Plymouth versus Livonia Churchill. Should be a good game. I believe Plymouth only went 6-4 in the league, so they're making a run towards the championship right now.
All right, so for the Catholic League, I believe it's UD versus St. Mary's. Pretty known league. Nothing that hasn't been seen with these teams, especially U of D. They've been in a lot of press this year. I think there's a lot of hype with this one at Callahan. Just for the sake, who do you think is going to win it?
I think this is a game where St. Mary's sticks around for a quarter, like they did last year in the championship. But then U of D pulls away in the second half. Nathan.
Like what you said, more of the same of last year. I think this is the time of year when U of D starts to get into their form when they have all of their gears clicking right, and so I think it's gonna be a blowout. U of D. Pretty easily getting rid of St. Mary's here.
You don't think Jalen Bailey can is a hot playoff streak so far?
He's been having a nice little streak, but it's gonna take a lot more talent than that to come close to upsetting this U of D team, especially coming off a loss to Brother Rice recently.
Yeah, and again, U of D was here last year. They won the Catholic League last year. U of D played St. Mary's recently this year. And St. Mary's did come out hot, but they were off adrenaline. And I think once they really got down to business, U of D handled business and blew those guys out of the water. as far as, you know, the game. You know, I think they went on a couple runs and stuff like that and kind of beat St. Mary's. Crit?
Yeah. I can see a situation where St. Mary's hangs around a bit. They were leading U of D in the first matchup up until about sometime in the fourth quarter when U of D was at home, the home crowd made a run. I mean, Callahan is basically a home game for U of D. Their student section, you know, proves why they're the best in the state. They really come out and make noise, and the parents, you know. So I think U of D, St. Mary's may keep it close for half the quarter, and then they'll come out and run some zone. U of D will make some adjustments, and then from all there, it'll just be
U of D.
Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it. But, yeah.
It's crazy how kind of like the roles reversed because of like 10 years ago, St. Mary's was perennial.
Yeah, they were.
Especially when you look at that, those Kalen Lucas teams. Yeah. So yeah,
Allen Robinson.
So now U of D's favorite, so just tells you how hard it is to win consistently.
Yeah. Programs have switched. Now this might be, you know, a little premature, but is it too early to pick the player of the year for this year for Michigan? What do you guys think about that?
Well, if you're just going off the regular season, no. But if you, well, maybe. But if you include, well, if you're going off the regular season, just the regular season, no. But if you're going off the entire year, then yes, it is. But so far, I got a kind of a two-way tie here between Deontay Davis of Muskegon. He has that Muskegon team playing really well. He's anchoring that team. They're ranked number two in the state. They beat Arthur Hill. I mean, they won the state championship last year, and I don't see any reason why they can't get back to the state championship. And my second one would be Cassius Winston. He's really been playing good for that U of D team. And
Nate?
I'm going to have to go with my main player of the year candidate right now, Deontay Davis. Just piggybacking off of what Christian said, I think he really has that team playing extremely well right now. Just one loss in a year, I believe.
Yeah.
So the McDonald's All-American, I think, definitely has to get my vote.
Yeah, well, you guys like that Muskegon big man. I'm going to go with Everett's big man, Trevor Manuel, after coming back from Oak Hill in Virginia to Lansing Everett. He's had a couple dominant performances so far. I believe 2 40-point-plus performances. He's just an overall good forward for the Oregon Duck 2015 commit.
Arrington Blackman here. I'm going to have to go with the U of D's Cassius Winston. He's led his team for most of the part. I think he's had a couple 30-point games in a row. He scores when he needs to. He controls the game. And this season, as far as U of D goes, has been in his hands for the most part. Of course, they have some guys assist, but as far as player of the year, I think that goes to say the most valuable player, in a sense. And for U of D, he has been the most valuable player. And I don't see a lot of other teams with a player like that, you know, controlling every aspect of the game. So when you say scoring and stuff like that, yeah, he puts up big numbers. Of course, they took, I believe, only 2 losses this year. So, yeah, once again, their record goes to show for itself. And with a leader like him, I think he's in good run for the player of the year. Prematurely speaking, playoffs haven't happened yet, but once again, I think he's going to show up in the playoffs too. Well, I guess that wraps it up for our player of the year. Even though that might be premature, I think it's pretty good to say you should start picking out your player of the year because some of these teams, you think they're good, but once the playoffs hit, you know, they start losing games and stuff like that. So, teams with the most to improve as the end of the season comes. Most to prove as the end of the season comes to a conclusion. What is your team?
My team is Oak Park. You know, on paper, they have the talent to win a state championship. But, you know, they obviously had that coaching scandal about a month ago. But they have the talent to win. I mean, I feel bad for any team that they're going to play that wants all their talent meshes.
The team that I have with the most to prove going into the playoffs this year, I would have to say I'm going to have to say Loyola on this one. Those kids have a lot of heart. They took an unnecessary loss to St. Mary's, and they could have competed in the Catholic League Championship. And I think they want to, feel a championship. So, you know, those guys have heart, and they're going to try at anything to get there.
Definitely a contender in Class C.
Yeah, definitely a contender. So I think they have the most to prove, and I think they will prove it. Crit?
I'm going to have to go with Sagamore Arthur Hill. They're a pretty good team. They have Eric Davis, Brian Bowen, and they have some role players, which is really what you need to win a championship. But I don't know. They lost to U of D. U of D won that game pretty handily. They also lost to Muskegon.
Western.
And the Western, yeah. So, well, there are three good teams, but when they're a team like that, it just seems like they should be playing better than what they have been playing.
They haven't beaten anybody of substance.
Yeah, exactly. And also another team you could say is East English Village. They're a really good team. They lost to Renaissance in the semifinal, the PSL semifinal. They lost to Western earlier in the year. So both of those teams have a lot to prove at the state tournament rolls around.
Nathan?
My team that has the most to prove going forward is going to have to be UD Jesuit. UD Jesuit, you know, coming off a pretty good year last year, state semifinals with a loss to Bloomfield Hills in the semifinals at the Breslin Center. I think going forward after two losses that really could have been avoided, in my opinion, to Romulus and to Brother Rice, I think they have the most to prove this year that they can be a consistent team in the playoffs and really can get over that hump and be a state championship team.
Yeah, they do play somewhat inconsistent at times. I agree with you on that
one. Right, right.
And with their new additions of their big men, I think they were trying to, you know, just throw them in there, people in semi-stall. And I think that people are still doubting them. So I think they have a lot to prove still, exactly, as far as within themselves. You know,
they're still young, though. They're, you know,
yeah, they're still young. And people think that they can get there, but I think they have to prove it to themselves, yeah, in order to succeed in the future, exactly, as far as next year's championship. Now that wraps it up for the teams that have the most to prove since we made our picks on that, let's move it over to our game picks. First game, we're going to go New Haven at Mount Clemens. New Haven with an undefeated record. I'm going to have to take New Haven in this one. Steven?
New Haven, number one in Class B. Mount Clemens has had a pretty good season, but New Haven just has too much.
Nathan?
You have to go to New Haven.
Crip?
Yeah, I got New Haven in this one.
All right, on to the next game. Oak Park at Athens. I'm going to have to take Oak Park on this one. No question about it. Steven?
Big game in the OAA, White for first place. Oak Park won earlier in the year, but I'm going to have to take Oak Park.
I got
Oak Park, even as, despite their recent academic issues.
Yeah.
So Oak Park, so. Oak Park, definitely.
You know, I got Athens in an upset. Is that Troy Athens?
Yes.
At home, I got him in an upset.
All right, well, that moves it on to our next game. We're going to have Cornerstone at Edison. We're going to have to take Cornerstone. I'm going to put a score on this one. Give me a low-scoring game, 32-25.
That's pretty low score.
Yeah, that's pretty low scoring. Steven.
Edison's been one of the most surprising teams in Class C. I believe they're 12-4. They have a lot of underclassmen talent, such as David DeJulius. But Cornerstone also has some good players. Derek Jamerson and Jamal Kane are two of the best players in respective classes. So I'm going to have to take Cornerstone, even though they won less than a week ago against Edison. So Cornerstone 70, Edison 65.
Nathan?
I'm going to have to go with Edison here, led by David DeJulius, one of the best freshmen in the state. Definitely going to have to go with him over Cornerstone. Score of 58-42.
That's pretty high from what I said.
Yeah.
But Crip, go ahead with your pick.
I got Edison in this one. I think David DeJulius and Ed Carter will be very good against this Cornerstone team. So, yeah. I got Adepsa 65, Cornerstone 57.
Do you think Cornerstone's player, Rashard, will be a big factor in the game?
Yeah, I think Rashard Thomas will score about 10 to 15 points, grab about 5 rebounds, get a good solid 20, 25 minutes off the bench.
He's definitely very talented player. Great addition for that squad.
Great addition for that squad.
We're going to move on now to our next game. Now for our next game, we're going to have North Farmington versus Clarkston. Is Billy Thomas eligible?
Yes.
Yeah.
I knew the answer to that question. I just wanted to bring up the discussion. I think it's a little unfair that he is eligible for the last couple of
seasons. Why do you say that?
Because he's eligible for the last couple games of the season, but he can't play in the playoffs. That makes not that much sense to me. I don't understand the decision behind that one. Do you know anything further?
I don't know. I mean,
no. Yeah, it's just pretty tough. But yeah, I'm still going to have to take North Farmington over Clarkston in this one. Crip, what are your thoughts?
North Farmington is really good, and this addition to Billy makes him even better. I think Billy wants to get, you know, as much as he can accomplish in these four games, so I got North Farmington.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's only at four games. Steven.
You know, Billy comes back for North Farmington, but Clarkson gets Tad and Frogmartin back, their star shooter, so.
Yeah, I mean, Clarkson might take it, but like I said, I still have North Farmington. Nathan, what are your thoughts?
You're going to have to go with Clarkson here. Too fundamentally sound, too good of a team. They just play good team basketball. It's kind of refreshing to see you know, a style of play that hasn't been seen in a while, especially in high school basketball these days. So I'm going to have to go with Clarkson. In a tight one, though, I'll give a plus minus of about 8 points here.
Well, that wraps it up for the show. Thank you for joining us on the Prep Ball Review. And join us again next week for more information about high school basketball as we go deeper into the playoffs.